Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Cassie. Hey, Darkhearts.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
You know, this is our second time trying to do a recording. The first time, as we hit go, it froze on us.
Yeah, so we're a little hesitant. I'm like waiting between everything we say to see if it's working. Because do you remember one of our first-ish episodes when we were still trying out different services, programs, whatever, and we had to record the same episode like 8 times.
Oh my god, yes.
I know, I remember it was the Jessica O'Grady case. Yeah, that was brutal. And I was so excited about that one, like, because I had done so much research. But by like the 8th time that you tell the story, it's just loses its luster, you know?
Yeah, that was a rough one. Hopefully this week I don't sound echoey. Don't know what happened last week with that. When we recorded, it sounded fine. I mean, my voice is still scratchy, so that doesn't sound pleasant, but
it sounds fine to me, so we're all good. Right,
well, cool. Yeah. I'm like, so yeah. Hey, guys.
Welcome. We're back.
Welcome to close to the end of January.
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I hate January, and I apologize to anyone who loves January and for anyone with birthdays. I do know several people with January birthdays, but you know what, guys? It's just in Nebraska. It is a long, cold month.
It is.
Not a lot of anything exciting going on.
No, I know. My daughter's birthday is the day after this comes out, and then my son's is not that Saturday, the 28th, but then the next Saturday, the 5th of February. And so we're doing their birthday party this weekend, which will be a lot of fun, but there's so much to do then, like right before it. And
I'm always happy when those things are done.
Like, well, and having their birthdays, which, you know, with your daughter's birthday being in December, having those birthdays so close to Christmas is, I'm like, you guys got so much stuff and you're about to get more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep. It's just, it sucks. I'm like thinking, okay, every day it's one day closer to spring, summer, whatever. But I'll be complaining in the summer about how hot it is. So just prepare yourself for that as well. I'm really only happy when it's spring or fall.
So, same.
You know,
I don't like to be too hot. I don't like to be too cold.
Exactly.
And for anyone not around here who was curious, we did end up, school got canceled on Wednesday.
Yes.
When it could have gone through, because we didn't get the snow they said until later. And then Thursday school should have been canceled, and it wasn't.
No, so, it was just stupid.
Yeah.
That's why I don't trust any news things anymore, like ever. And I mean, they call it so early. Last week they called it like afternoon, you know, it was like Tuesday afternoon canceling for Wednesday. And Tuesday was like kind of nice. I mean, I remember
Tuesday was just being in a hoodie nice outside.
Yeah.
And I understand like there was like all this talk about how bad the snow was going to be. So yeah, OPS canceled at like 3:30 on Tuesday. And then I just kept waiting for like Wednesday evening for them to cancel school for Thursday again, or even like I thought for sure by like 5 a.m. I'd be getting that phone call from OPS. Yeah. Nothing.
No, I know. I can't believe. So our school district, we did, and most of the school districts around here did a late start Thursday. And so I was super shocked that your kids district did not, because
OPS, someone was telling me OPS will never do a late start. They'll just cancel because of the buses and like how they are supposed to, like, we don't have the busing for a late start because it would throw it all off, because like high schoolers get taken super early and then middle schoolers are a little after that. And then it's the elementary. And so if they did 2-hour late start for everyone, it just wouldn't be feasible. So I was surprised they didn't just cancel. Instead, I got things saying that, plan for bus delays. And I was like, okay, but my son has to stand 2 blocks away. And like, if it's more than 15 minutes late, bring them back into shelter. I was like, yeah, except then I can't see the bus. Right. So I ended up taking both of them to school, because of my daughters, I got a thing saying it would arrive between 8:45 and 9:30. And I had picked up hours, so I had to go to work. So I was like, you know what? I'll go all around town to drop you both off.
Right.
I called her bus and like was like, hey, let them know not to stop in the morning, but still need the afternoon. I happened to be looking at my doorbell camera. The bus still showed up at 11 a.m. I was like, one?
School's halfway done. Cool.
Yeah. That's
why they should have just canceled. Way that's past. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's way past when you told me. So thank God I didn't wait for you.
Right. Jeez.
Two, why did I even bother calling?
Yeah. Right. You know? No. Mm-mm.
So yeah, that was a fun time. You know?
Yeah. I am just over it. I mean, it was fine. Working from home, it was like, cool. I don't have to drive anywhere now. You know, but yeah. Other than that, it's whatever. I just want the snow to melt as I'm looking outside and knowing that the sun's not going to shine for like a week or something. I was checking the weather. I'm like, can this like melt? Thanks.
I know. I think the last I looked, there was a small chance of snow on Sunday.
Yeah. And mine's showing Saturday now, but you know, the Midwest and the heartland, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how we roll. To our friends who are not in the heartland, enjoy your nice-ish weather, maybe. I mean,
my husband was like, why aren't we living in the desert? I was like, because that's too hot.
Because it's sick. I remember living in the desert in July, and that was terrible. No. So, you know, the grass is not always greener, or in that case, there's really no grass.
There's no grass. That's the other
problem. The sand is not any whatever.
I like greenery, though, too. Like, I could not live in a desert.
It's depressing. I know. When I lived in Arizona, I was like, younger too, where it was like, I'm never going back to Nebraska. It's so stupid there, you know? And when I was there, I was like, all I wanted was like green. You know, I'm like, I miss the seasons actually. Yeah, like I hate winter, but I don't mind. Like the snow's okay in December.
I just want spring and fall. Nope. I don't want snow either. But we had friends who lived there for a bit. And I remember one of them, like she told me that she had to put ice cubes in their kids' bath water because the cold water
the pipes are too hot. Yeah, it was terrible. You couldn't take a shower to like cool down because the water was hot. And I was like, had to use like a pot holder to open my car doors.
Nope.
Yeah, it was. None I was like, that. Why did I think this was cool? Oh yeah, because I'm like 20.
Also,
two and you know,
Arizona is the Australia of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are creatures there who want to kill you. They have those stupid camel spiders there.
Oh, yeah. And scorpions all over as well. No, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. So, yeah, anyways, if you're new to this, this is not a bitch about the weather podcast.
Like mostly,
this is a true crime podcast. You just might not know it from this first 7 minutes.
Correct. But that's what we've got for you today from the... I'm going to say from the desks of Shannon and Cassie, you know, just our fun commentary and our ADD just going all over the place. And,
you know, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. That should be our new thing. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. also, you know, remember Patreon. Yes. No ads. You get it early. If you want to sign up, we appreciate it. Otherwise, you know, just sharing our content, our social medias and stuff with your friends and family, anyone who you think might enjoy it, like that helps us a ton too. So we get it. Money can be tight, but there are definitely other ways that you can help us out too by just sharing things. We appreciate it so much. We love all of you and the support. So thank you so much.
Yes. And we're working on some merch things for the future. Obviously, we won't go into too much detail on that because it's just a lot.
It's still very early stages. Very we're new. Still researching.
But just, you know, I do have to share. It was adorable because my dad, who likes nothing to do with true crime and any sort of like negativity and, you know, listens to it because he's an amazing dad. Let's just be honest. I've got the best. But he, and if you're listening to this right now, Dad, you know, it's true. He asked me if we had our logo, copyrighted or whatever, because he wanted to take it to an embroiderer there and get it on a hat because he wants a hat.
That and I was like, cutest ever.
I know. And I was like, wow, I'm glad that you'll even rock that because
that's fantastic. You know, oh, I love that so much.
I know. No, I know. I forgot to tell you that. And I was like, that's so cute. Just the other night, he's like, I want to get a hat, you know? And I'm like, Bless your heart. So
that's so cute.
You know, we're hoping to have some things down the road too, which will be fun. But yeah, yeah. Until then, even, I mean, just, yeah, tell your friends about us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do actually think that site that I sent you
has hats
that I believe you can get it embroidered.
Mm-hmm. So, I didn't even share that news with him yet because I knew he would, I don't know.
I mean, but hey,
to,
if
like,
he's got,
know how to do it. And I don't
yeah. If he's got someone local that he can go to and do it, like, have at.
Yeah, you know, we'll just see how that goes. But yeah, that's adorable, right?
No, I love it.
So yeah, we want you guys to rock those like stickers, which are in the process of, we're getting those, you know, and we'll see where we're going with
our
that.
Our patrons have, I know, you guys were the worst. We're so sorry. We will get those to you.
We will. We know. Don't worry. We have not forgotten. You're still in the forefronts of our minds. We just are... Also, busy mom life, work
life.
Well,
it was the holiday, and we're trying, especially for the patrons, we want to have a special sticker.
Correct.
And so we're trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So we're going to get there, and you're going to get it. It's just like, you know, as long as you're patient,
we're just a
two-man.
We're a two-man show. We both work and have children.
We don't have an editor, like a professional person that we hire out like others. And, you know... So, yeah, but no one has complained. So I guess, I mean, it's fine. You guys clearly are very cool. And
my son, I forgot to tell you this the other day. He was like, I can't wait until your podcast is so famous that we can live in a mansion. I was like, I'm
moving
glad
in with you, Cassie, because
I'm glad that you have this faith in how much money we're going to make. Listen, if we could just like break even and, you know.
Yeah.
Have enough to like cover the costs.
That's the
dream. That would be cool.
That's
maybe a little extra. I mean, like, for sure it would be awesome if we could just do this.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I
would
love
that. So cool. But you know, there this year is our year. I feel it.
It is.
I feel it. I pulled my tarot card today for it, and it even talked about how your creative ventures, like it was the Eight of Pentacles, and it was like, yeah, your creative ventures are on the horizon for you. Like, you are on the path. So
it's going to be a good year. I feel it in all aspects of life. It's going to be a good year. So we're going to be, we're on the right track. So yeah. Are you guys sick of us talking? Because I'm sure a lot of you are like skipping, skip, 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 skip. That's what I do on a lot of my podcasts I listen to.
See, I love the chit chat. So I don't.
It depends on what it is and how long it's going. But you know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm ready. I can share my story here if you friends are all ready to go.
I don't even know what state you're
in
this week.
We are in Michigan.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Michigan. We haven't done Michigan since, like, August. I was looking, and it was perfect when I found this one because I was like, well, look at that. So, specifically, we're in Armada, Michigan. Ooh. So, it's, like, 35 miles from Detroit. So,
okay.
Just a little town. I did watch, well, there's actually several documentaries on this case. I watched two of them. I'm sure you can find more. I watched Murder Comes to Town, and this was on, I think I watched that on Hulu. So season 5, episode 1, Trailing the Devil. And also, it's funny because I had just watched this show that came out on Hulu. I think it just came out a couple weeks ago. It's called How I Caught My Killer. I don't know if anyone's been watching that.
Oh, you told me about that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I told you. It's actually really good. And there was an episode on this case on that. And so after I watched that, I started looking into this case more. So, yeah, but... primarily, those are the episodes I watched. There's a lot of cheesy reenactment. So, you know, to each their own. But yeah, so we're going to kind of we're going to start with like the crime itself. And then I'll kind of go into it more because it's kind of, I mean, there's a lot to it. So this was July 24th of 2014. So a 911 call comes in. This man says that him and his wife were on the Markham Orchard Trail and they had found a body. They believed it was a female. They don't think she was breathing. She was kind of tucked back in the woods and they could tell that she, was naked. So that's the initial call that comes in. So Officer Philip Neumeyer, he was the first officer on the scene. So he gets there and he finds, kind of past a ditch line, there is a body that's severely beaten, mostly above the head and chest. There were shorts. The body had shorts and underwear that were pulled down. Eyes were still open. And it was just, it was obviously not an accident here.
Right.
So I think initially, too, it was just a huge shock because this is one of those small towns, again, where things don't happen like that there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's Armada. Sorry, I just made a note here that put, I said Armada. That's maybe how you say the town, not Armada. Sorry, guys. Anyway. Yeah. So
Armada, Armada, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. Ha, potato, potato.
Hey.
Yeah, you like that? Well, so this officer, when they talk to him on both of the documentaries, he's just the sweetest man. And he, when he's talking about it, he even cries. And he just says, as a police officer, he said, you know, this was one of his citizens, someone that he's trying to care for. And he said that he felt so much guilt that he couldn't keep this person safe. And I just thought that was like nice to hear that. I mean, you always hear such bad things about cops, which of course there are bad ones too, but like, yeah, it was nice to know that he did take it so seriously. But yeah, so, you know, they find this body, of course. And so this is a tiny town. They only have like 3 or 4 police officers really in this town. So they call in Michigan State Police to come in and help assist with this because they were not used to these kind of crimes. They were just, even the state police were really shocked that something like this happened there. So initially they do see that there is a shoe pattern like across her face.
Oh.
So like it appeared that she had been stomped to death, and they noted what a disrespectful and demeaning act, you know, just so rage, so much rage. And
that,
it seems
that has to be personal, right?
Absolutely. When they said that, I was like, how hard do you have to step on someone to leave an imprint of your shoe?
And to stomp someone to death?
Like, I know. That is just,
you don't hear about that very often.
No. And I mean, even when I'm watching a movie and like, you know, someone's beating someone, I mean, just physically, I mean, punching them even, I had to like look away because it's like at a certain point, you're like, okay, when are you going to stop? And how horrific to be that close to a person's face and see the damage you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So that alone just disgusted me. So, you know, while they're there investigating, a mother and a young man, they show up at the scene. The woman, whose name was Jennifer Millsap, she was concerned because her daughter, April Millsap, who was 14, she had gone on a walk with her dog a couple hours earlier, and she had not come back home. Aww. So this was her mom and boyfriend that were there, April Millsap's mom and boyfriend. So her boyfriend's name was Austin. He came to the scene as well because he knew that April was also missing. So, you know, they say this is the situation. The police automatically, they're like, okay, just go down to the police station.
It was a little 14-year-old girl.
Yeah. So
okay. This is sad, but I need to know right now, is the dog found? Is the dog safe?
The dog's fine. I know. Don't worry. I would never have done this case if the
okay.
Dog, I mean, that sounds so heartless, but
this was
no,
horrible.
Dog's okay.
And a poor child. I can't handle a child and her dog at the same time.
This well, and I have this later on in the notes, but I might as well just share this part here now. The couple that had found her body too, I don't know why I should have put this up here to begin with. But the reason they had found the body, I guess, is because there was a border collie. Her name was Penny. She's very cute. She's black, and they saw her like on the trail, and she had a leash attached, but no one walking her, and she was barking and she was running like over into the woods and then coming back and then running.
That's trying to get help. What a good little girl.
Bless her little heart. Yeah, she's the goodest girl.
Oh, the goodest poor puppy.
I know. Can you imagine? So the dog is okay. So there's our shout out to little Penny. So
who was being the bestest little girl trying to help her girl.
Such a sweet, sweet girl. So yeah. So they go to the police station, and this is when cops show a picture of the body that they have found to the mother. Because based on like what the mom had told them about April being gone, everything that she kind of said about what she was wearing matched what they had found. So they were, I mean, fairly certain. So they show her a picture, and I guess it was just like horrific, you know, imagine seeing a picture of your child in that state. No, thanks. I can't imagine. And I'm sure they didn't want to have to show her that, but it was like, well,
I mean, at that point, yeah.
Yeah. So she says, you know, this is her. So this was indeed April Millsap. So April was born January 2nd of 2000. So she was 14 years old. She loved art. She loved drawing, just very artistic. They said that she actually really liked drawing anime.
Oh, fun. And,
yeah. So she shared a very special bond with animals. So Penny, talking about Penny once again, what a good girl. Her and April were like best friends. They said that, you know, she would walk Penny all the time, and that was just her buddy. So she even wanted to be a vet when she grew up. So her stepdad, who she was very close with, he would put money aside weekly for her college fund so she could go to college to be a vet. So also just, yeah, on terms of how close their family was and what good people they were, like April was so close with her family, and she would help her mom because her mom has they never said exactly what it was, but it's a neurological disease that affected mm-hmm. her speech and balance. So like they interview her mom on these documentaries, and you can tell by her speech that it's kind of slurred a little bit. So I just think like, that's terrible when you lose your crutch too, you know, like her daughter always helped her, and she was an only child. So it was just her and her mom, Jennifer, and then her stepdad. And they did mention several times how close she was with her stepdad because he was just a much better father than her own father. And
and that is so fantastic because he clearly stepped up, you know, like there are lots of things that make a great dad, and it doesn't have to be DNA.
No,
and the fact that he stepped up and like putting aside money every mm-hmm. week for, that's just
David is his name too. So he's just,
what a good guy for this family.
I know. It's really sad, especially because 14 is so young. I mean, after I started doing it, you know, and I'm like, I don't like doing cases on kids. And I'm like, well, gosh, she still is technically a kid. I was thinking, you know, older, but I'm like, that's still mm-hmm. a baby, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, you know, they talk about her being just a very kind, loving girl. They said she was very shy, but once you got to know her, she would never shut up. Her mom, was her quote. So at this time too, this was the summer before she was going to start her freshman year. So she was really into social media, of course, because it was pretty big around that time anyway. Yeah.
Oh, that's the year my son was born too.
Oh, so by middle school kids just kind of got to her like normal. Middle school is tough for a lot of kids. You know, she got really worried and insecure about her body image. Her friend that they talked to on both of these documentaries too was really sweet. And she said that her and April would just go to lunch and they would eat like a salad and that was it, because they were always just comparing themselves to others and they were just insecure, which I thought that sounds about right. That's that age, and it sucks.
Life is so much harder for kids these days.
Oh yeah.
In the aspect, like we had bullying, we had all these things, and like I had shit from my childhood and growing up, in high school and stuff, but like social media wasn't as big as it is now. And now it's like, you have that constant thing. And I just feel like it's starting younger and younger.
It is,
because
we didn't even have cell phones when I was in high school, you know?
Did I tell you that on Friday I got an email from my son's school about a kid in this elementary that only goes to fourth grade right now having two knives and making threatening remarks?
No, did not hear that.
I'm like, how was this not on the news?
Correct.
My son didn't say anything about it, so I'm assuming it wasn't in his class. Yeah. It wasn't in his grade.
Good.
That's all the information we got. But like, if you have questions, I'm just like,
yeah, I have about a million questions, actually.
why did this kid have access to these knives?
Yeah.
Why at this young age are we like,
I know, it's very scary and so sad, the world that we live in. And yeah, I mean, we all have trauma from our past. I think middle school specifically. And
yes, but I think with the social media and people having access to you 24/7 now is so much harder.
I'm so glad we did not have that back in the day. Like, I thought it was hard enough without social media. So now it's like, you know, people will say anything they want behind a keyboard and
I think it's okay. In high school, you know, MySpace was the thing. And of course, there was always drama with if you were in someone's top 8 or if they decided to be real salty and just give themselves a top 4. And then it was like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. We didn't even have MySpace in high school because, well, I'm older than you, but not, I mean, not a lot, but it had just kind of come out. So I was like, I remember when I went to college, I went to Lincoln, and I remember my roommates were like, we were trying to look you up on Facebook to see who you were. And I'm like, I remember saying verbatim, what is a Facebook? You know?
So that's like when I got done with high school, because Facebook started out, you had to have a college email.
Which I missed those days, kind of, just because.
When I was 18, I remember some of the guys I worked with at the bank were tellers, you know, tellering is a great college job.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, talking about, I remember arguing with this one guy about the superiority of Facebook over MySpace. Yeah. And I was like, no. And so when I think I still have it. It still shows up in my like memories every now and then, him commenting like, glad you finally came to the right side or whatever. When I finally joined MySpace, when you didn't have to have a college email.
I know. It's so stupid now too. I think like as a parent on there now, it's more like, oh, I want these things to pop back up in my memories. Like I love when they do that down the road. So it's like, well, I like to do that. But a lot of Facebook is just stupid anyway. It's a lot of ads. It's a lot of, I don't get on it
as much. I post some pictures and stuff so family can see the kids and stuff like that. Yeah. Or like if I'm feeling myself, you know, like I redid my hair, which I actually today I redid my hair. I added a little bit of purple shadow root. I'll send you a picture later.
Yeah.
But you know, so I like it for that, but I don't get it on it as much. I like it for a good meme game sometimes. Like there's some good memes you can find on there, but I have specific groups for that. So. Yeah.
I know. It's just, I hope, I mean, it won't be, but you know, maybe by the time our kids are around that age, it'll be somewhat gone and something else will be a bigger deal.
Oh, we're old for using Facebook. Kids don't use Facebook anymore. No. It's Snapchat, and TikTok.
Yeah.
Which my son is at the point he's been asking for a cell phone. I'm like, no, I've been contemplating one of those watches that can track them, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, and like you can only put a few numbers.
Gizmo and Gab. Yeah.
But,
That's a whole nother conversation we can get on. Yeah, listen,
we could get on a whole thing. So I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to interrupt. Like, it just.
No, but it's true. Like, it's just... So, I mean, imagine you can put yourself in the state of what, you know, she's in middle school. That's a rough time. And so she was just insecure about her body. So I guess.
And a small town.
Yeah. So like, yeah. The segue to that here is, I guess, that she got the MyFitnessPal app, which kind of comes in big here in the story.
I remember when that was popular. I think it's still around. But...
It is. I know people that still use it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this, you know, is an app that helps you count your steps. It can trace where you're, you know, all the things. So it's, you can put your food in there, what you eat. It's something like that for and those of you who don't know. And it's all
free too, but, isn't it? Like that. Yeah. I'm like, how does it stay in business? Because it's been free this whole time. There's going to be like paid up.
There's probably another version you can get. Yeah. I don't know. But so she had this back then because she was, you know, once again, insecure about her body. So trying to keep active. So she was going on a lot of walks and she was taking her dog. And her mom said that she would sometimes use that as an excuse to just go meet her boyfriend, Austin, at the park. Since, you know, they were 14. It's not like they hang out a lot, whatever. So, okay. So we'll talk about Austin here a little bit, too, since I've mentioned him a couple times. So Austin... he was a nice guy, but he was known to be just really loud and obnoxious. He's a 14-year-old boy.
I think that goes with the territory.
Like... Yeah. And also when you're 14, your relationship, it's not like it's really probably that serious. So her friend, April's friend said that they had arguments here and there, but it was nothing crazy. But people kind of labeled Austin as a troublemaker. April and her friends were like they said they kind of were known as the misfits because they didn't really fit in with small town life.
Same.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like that's a lot of people too in small towns. I'm like, a lot of people, especially that age, are like wanting to get out and, you know.
I was definitely a misfit of my town. I did not fit. It didn't help that I wasn't born and raised there either.
Oh, yeah. That makes a difference, I think, too. Sometimes, you know what I mean?
Oh, it 100% does.
So she, or the friend group, sorry, they would go hang out at the park, like, after school, and they would just walk the trail and hang out. They never felt unsafe at any point in this town to be doing those things. And their parents didn't feel unsafe letting them walk around together. So that's kind of the background there a little bit. So then on July 24th, the day that April went missing, around 5:30 p.m. that evening, April opens up, you know, her app, the fitness, My Fitness Pal app, and she decides she's going to go on a walk. So she's tracking her walk. So she takes her dog, Penny, and they go. So about an hour passes and she's still not home. So her mom said she was starting to get worried just because she never was gone for that long.
Yeah.
So her friends all had like group chats and stuff too. And they said everyone was responding in the group chat, but April wasn't texting, which was weird because she was very active when you're 14 too. I feel like you're, you know, on your device all the time too. So, then I know I had mentioned this earlier. So then it was about an hour after that when that couple saw Penny and they discovered the body. So I know I'd mentioned that. So that's kind of that. So, okay. So then, you know, they are able to confirm that that is April. So the next morning after her body had been found, the police, you know, are starting their interviews with people. And of course they're very interested in the boyfriend because 55% of all female murders are committed by an intimate partner, in case anyone wants to know that fun fact. So
the husband always did it.
Always.
Talking
55%, like that's a huge percent, you know? And so given he's 14 years old, but still
it's kind of funny because I was talking with my client yesterday, and we were talking about podcasts and true crime, and something came up about me being afraid of being murdered by my child. He's like, you realize your husband's more likely to do it. I was like,
but don't, it's scarier
to think of my child.
We would like to maybe think of it in the other way because you'll see it coming if it's, you know, your husband, but maybe not, but
Children murders are terrifying. I just expect men to be terrifying. You know,
I know, it's fair. It's fair. Yeah. They're talking to him. So they find it odd right away too, because he had just erased a bunch of texts that between him and April. And when they asked him why he did that, he said he knew it didn't look good because they had been fighting lately. And so when he knew that they wanted to interview him, he freaked out and he knew that that would make him look guilty. So he deleted them, which I can see the mindset there when you're 14, you're thinking, oh my gosh, if they see we're arguing at all, they're going to think I did it.
I'm wondering, could a 14-year-old child be strong enough to stomp someone to death?
I don't know. I guess it depends, but
I feel like then it's going to be under his shoe.
Well, we'll get there.
Okay.
So he had deleted these texts, and you can listen, you know, on the documentary and stuff, you can hear the whole interview, and he just does. I mean, he sounds like a scared kid.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, now he really looks like the prime suspect because he had deleted all of those. However, he does show cops this one text that he had gotten from April that came in at 6:26 p.m. that night. So she had left around like 5:30. Okay. So this is almost an hour after the fact. The text says, quote, "I think I almost got kidnapped. OMFG. That's what it said. So he says. But
the killer could have sent that too.
True. But so he responded at 7:24 and they were like, okay, that's freaking weird. First of all, why would you not call the cops if she just sent you a text that said, I almost got kidnapped? And that's what I have in here. He did not call police or mom. Correct. And they said, why did you wait almost an hour to text her back? He said, well, I didn't see the message until he said that April's mom had called him to see if he knew where April was. And then after he got off the phone with her, then he saw that text.
Okay. Which could be too, because I mean, who knows how into his phone he is. Maybe he's gaming or something.
Yeah. And boys, I don't want to say, you know, they check it less or more, but like, it's just a different mindset. It just depends, I guess. Yeah. I guess I don't want to put anyone in a box, but, So, but they do find it odd because he's a teenager and teenagers generally always have their phones with them, but he stands pretty firm on the fact that he has no idea what happened to April. They went over it time and time again. He never, I mean, changes his story. And he said that at the time that this would have happened, he was with a friend in New Haven, which is a town about 10 miles away. He said that they were moving. He was helping his friend move a TV and then they went and got McDonald's. So we'll come back to that.
Plus, if he's with a friend, he might not be checking his phone because
right. And if they're moving stuff,
if they're moving stuff, but also like, boy, like anyone would be like, ooh, your girlfriend's got you whipped. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, and
that toxic,
it's not like it's like a deep, serious conversation where like you're maybe texting them all the time.
Also at that point, like our generation as teenagers, our phones weren't on silent unless we were at school.
Correct.
But by that point,
well, I guess teens are like, I didn't have a phone.
Well, okay.
So I went to college. But
still, by 2014, kids were like, why would you not have your phone on silent? You know what I mean? Like, kids kept their phone on silent. So if he's moving stuff and doesn't notice the phone vibrate.
Right. And yeah, I mean, it's easy to miss. So
I mean, I don't think that's super weird.
Nah, I don't either. I think they were just kind of grasping at straws because they didn't really have a lot to go off of because they're like, it's a very personal thing. So it's either someone who's really close to her or it's a complete stranger. And that's even scarier because who would be so rageful?
But you have a shoe print, right? You should be able to tell the size of the shoe. Real quick, look at this.
It's like a partial print, which you'll find out. We'll talk about all that more. But so the next day, then they're like, okay, we have to kind of make the community at least aware of what happened here. So the town naturally is in shock. You know, they said it just didn't even feel real and it changed the community forever because people now realize, you know, you have to keep your door locked.
Yeah.
And they were all just living in fear. So because I had just kind of even mentioned, like, they don't know if it was someone she knew or a stranger, you know, they question her mom hoping to find some sort of lead as someone maybe that she had issues with and whatnot.
Or an internet stranger she'd been talking to.
Right. Especially being on her phone all the time. Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a fake call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie. Okay, so, you know, April's mom says that if she had been going to meet someone, it would be in her phone because she had her phone with her all the time. She probably would have been, you know, texting or in an app or something like that. So the problem with this was that they didn't have her cell phone. So her cell phone was never, like, it wasn't found at the scene with everything else. And to get a cell phone records and stuff, I mean, that takes time. Yeah. They can't instantly get that. So they launched this major search effort to see if they can find, like, her cell phone anywhere around. So the local and the state police are looking for this. So they said, you know, they had just tons of people looking and it showed them searching lakes and
I mean, all the killer clearly could have taken it.
Right. So I don't know what it was that spawned them to specifically look that hard for the phone when they probably could have just got the records, unless it was just like they were in such a hurry, which I, as a parent, I would be like, I don't care. Go look everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
But they ended up having an article search dog who was searching. I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't either.
And this dog ended up finding her phone off a different dirt road further down, but it was still intact. And they said this was the best thing that could have happened because they were able to send that in to the crime lab to be analyzed. So while that this is all happening, they continue to look into Austin, her boyfriend. So they talked to April's friend too, about their relationship again. And she said she knew that her and Austin were very much in love, and which I thought, okay, love, like,
I mean,
what is love when you're 14? But to them, yes. So she said she did not think Austin was capable of anything like that because of the brutality of that. So
now I'm worried that the kid did do it, because whenever they're like, there's no way.
I know.
Also, and the killer's clearly not smart to have just dumped the phone and not tried to break it or something.
Okay. I know. I agree. So she said too, she does back Austin. She backs Austin up and says that she could see why he probably deleted those texts, because he thought, well, if she is dead and they see that we were arguing, they will assume that I did it. She said it made sense to her, the friend too. And I thought, well, I mean, I could see that from that mindset as a 14-year-old, not realizing they can still pull those texts.
I mean, yeah.
But whatever. Again,
yeah.
So while all this is going on too, the police, they finally get like the surveillance of that McDonald's that he claims that him and his friend had gone to. And the timestamp on it did indeed confirm that he was at that McDonald's at that time. So he was completely cleared from being a suspect.
Okay, but he could have sent the text later. Right?
Well, I mean, the time that he was at McDonald's would have been the time she was murdered. Sorry. There we go.
So, they know kind of when, like, so they know for sure that was her who sent the text message at 6:26.
Yeah. Well, they don't know that, I mean, necessarily, but I guess it places him, because he was in a different town. He was far enough away that his alibi, there was no way he could have killed her at that time.
And then,
Because they can track. I mean, he was here at like, 6:30 or whatever.
I guess, and I guess if the phone was dumped near her.
Yeah. I think she really did actually send that text. So I think that text was an immediate like panic mode. Yeah. And so, but now that they've cleared him, they really have like nobody else, I mean, to go off of. So they kind of just start looking into anyone and everyone who had been near that trail or on the trail that day. They talked to just like, they're knocking on like every door at this point surrounding the trail. And a girl at one of the houses said that she had seen a white van drive by in the neighborhood really slowly back and forth. She was a smart girl because she said she thought it was odd enough that she decided to take a picture of the van just because she had seen it drive by a few times. I'm like, that's a smart girl right there.
That's a girl who is into true crime.
Exactly. So the picture she got wasn't like great where you could get a license plate or anything, but it was enough to give you an idea of it was like a big white, like the cargo vans.
Well, so, and to know if anyone in town has that.
Yeah, exactly. So they see that, and that picture was taken within a few minutes of the text that was sent to Austin that said that she had almost got kidnapped. So timeline,
it's like a kidnapper van.
Right. So the timeline definitely fits. So they asked the community to help, of course, you know, find this van. They received over 1,000 tips trying to find this van. So after several stops and leads, they finally find the van. So the owner of the van actually called himself in. He saw that on the news that they were looking for this white van, and he realized, I have a van like that. So he calls in and he says, you know, he's a home builder, and he was actually showing houses that he had built to a friend or something. So that's why they were driving slowly, because he was going down there, and he was actually cleared. So, you know, I thought at least they look into that.
Yes.
But, you know, other than where the van was located, there was nothing else that really tied that van to April. So kind of another dead end. So a little bit about like the autopsy too. So I'm kind of jumping around here, and I know it's hard, but there's just so much information that, you know, and all these things are happening around the same time. They're searching, they're interviewing. They get the autopsy stuff back, and April's body had 48 documented injuries, mostly to her head and neck area.
Oh God.
The injuries were, blunt force. There was lots of bruising, scrapes, and bleeding around her eyes, jaw, and neck. There was a lot of bleeding inside of her head, and there was injuries to her trachea. So the official cause, I know, the cause of death was blunt head trauma and asphyxia due to neck compression. They said it was likely someone stood on her neck.
I hope with like one of the first hits, she was knocked unconscious and like,
I know,
wasn't cognizant of what was happening.
No, no. And like, what kind of anger? Like, geez. And I'm
assuming the poor baby was sexually assaulted.
Well, they don't actually, well, no, I think it was more of an attempt to sexually assault her and it went wrong. It was a sexually motivated thing. And I don't think it ever actually, the assault ever happened. And she initially fought him off
so we
to
got
the
a
point
man
where he pissed off. Yeah.
He can't get it up. She yes. fought him. He can't get it up. And so now he's going to take it out on her.
Yeah. So he got rejected and then decided he was going to try anyways. And then she fought him and beat the shit. Well, I'm sure she, you know, hopefully got some in, but she was a little, I mean, too, she's a cute little girl. And anyway, okay. So after all of this, they finally get a lead. So like, you know, they're talking to people that had been on the path around the path. So a man said that him and his two daughters had been walking the path that same day. And they had seen an individual with a motorcycle talking to April as she was walking. The man said that he noted it was just weird because motorcycles aren't allowed on this path. So he thought, why is this person up here? And the man's daughters knew that it was April because they had gone to school with her. So,
and it's a small town and everyone knows everyone.
Exactly. So they thought that was weird, but they said they were just talking. I mean, it didn't look
weird
necessarily, like they were fighting or anything. So the man knew kind of what the bike looked like. So he found a picture of what, you know, the kind of bike to send to the cops. So they had somewhat of a description. And then they gave a description of the man that they had seen and they were able to kind of draw up, you know, a drawing of what they thought he was like. So, then that kind of starts, you know, a search, but it's hard because in 2014 in Michigan, there are 2002. Okay. Let me rephrase this. This is a big number. Sorry. 249,321 motorcycle registrations.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that's a lot, but at least they have, I mean, something to go off of. Yeah. It's going to take forever, but at least they can maybe, you know, kind of limit that down into sections. Yeah. So that's what they're looking at. So meanwhile, you know, I had said they had sent her phone in to the lab. So FBI gets her phone back and they are able, I mean, to extract the data from it. So when it says, when I talked about that show that it was on called How I Caught My Killer or I Caught My, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, what does that mean? So this is kind of how April led them to her killer because, you know, we had talked about how she had her fitness app on while she was running. Mm-hmm. Well, they could tell that it was still running in the background on her phone. So not only does it track your steps, but it the pace of your steps. So they're able, I'll post this too in the pictures, the path you can see exactly where she went. So, you know, she left around 6 p.m. So they show that she was walking under 2 miles per hour from her home to the trail. So around 6:20, she speeds up just a little bit to about 2.2 miles per hour. Then it's interesting because then she turns directions and the speed goes up to 4.1 miles per hour. So at 6:28 is when she sent that text to Austin saying she almost got kidnapped. So you can see where she was walking and then turns and runs. Yeah. So clearly that's maybe where that happened. So then the app shows a chaotic moment where the line on the map zigzags erratically and goes off the path. So it's like chilling to see that too, because they said they believed that this was when she was running and fighting for her life. Yeah. And they said you could literally see the panic because the phone is moving around the whole time. And they show this map and you can see the line of her path and it's just going like in circles and all around, like very erratic, like she's running. Oh. It's very chilling. And then, so, you know, it's just going in circles and moving all over the place. And then suddenly the speed takes off at 18 miles per hour. So
someone was driving.
Yes. So they said that the theory is that, you know, the killer fled the scene on this motorcycle that they think, you know, and took the phone. What an idiot, because therefore it gives the direct path that he drove. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that goes for a while. And then you see where they found the phone. That's where, you know, you see where the phone stops, where he dumped the phone. So they think he was just, you know, driving off just through the phone, which that was stupid too. I mean, either way, like he wasn't smart about it, but, it gave them a direction and where to go, but it was really just horrible because you could see for 7 minutes that phone moving around. They said for 7 minutes she fought for her life. You could see that. Ooh, yeah. So it gives me goosebumps because it's just like how crazy. But like technology, I mean, without that, you know, that shows them a lot. So on July 25th, around 8 p.m., this is about 55 miles outside of Armada. The whole area, cops are aware of what they're looking for. And so they're all kind of keeping their eyes out for any kind of motorcycle or, you know, whatever. So a cop sees this motorcycle parked by a house that matched the description. So he thought, well, what the heck? He said he ran the plates on it just to see. And even though it was, you know, that far away from the initial spot where she was found.
Was this person a sex offender?
No. But he ran the plates, but it belonged to James Van Callis. So he was 32 years old. On paper, he didn't match at all any sort of suspect they were looking for. He had no record of violence, I mean, anything. And he seemed like a normal, just decent person. But, you know, they decide they're still going to talk to him, of course. So around 11 p.m. that night, they go to his home. He comes out with his father, James Sr., who also lived there. So they're both James. And his girlfriend also lived with them too, which I'll mention that. So there's the three of them there. So, you know, he takes them over to the bike. He shows them the bike. They, you know, he claims he doesn't know anything that had happened. Feel free to take pictures and whatnot. So they do. But other than that, they don't have much to really, look at. But
what about his shoes?
They did. Yeah, they did know that she had been stomped on. So there was those truth. Shoe tracks, if I can talk. So they did ask if they could see his shoes that he had on. And so he showed cops this old beat up pair of K-Swiss shoes, and they could tell immediately that the tread pattern did not match. So they said, you know, he didn't really seem to raise any red flags or any of that. So, but then they also looked into his father who lived there, but his father did raise a couple of red flags because he indeed was a previous, you know, he was a sex offender. So that obviously sparks interest because they think that, you know, this was a sexually motivated crime, and they thought he was just like a weird cat, you know, like he was just off a little bit. They got weird vibes from this dude. So because of that, they are able to get a warrant to at least like search the entire property. So immediately it's just a mess. They talked about how dirty and disgusting that the whole house was. There's pictures of just, I mean, and that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the crime, but it kind of just talks about what kind of people they are. They said they were hoarders, and also there was this big giant dog enclosure, and instead of anything to do with dogs, it was filled with marijuana plants.
Oh.
So they were growing marijuana, but they said that in Michigan, that's not illegal, but you have to have the proper licenses and permits to do that, which they did not. So because of that, they're able to at least arrest them both.
Okay.
So they can take them in on that in the meantime. So they arrest the dad, James Sr. and James Jr. on that. So after they're arrested, they get a very interesting call from James Jr.'s girlfriend. Her name is Crystal Stadler. And she talks about her relationship with James. She said that they had met when she was only 17 and he was 27. Yeah. So right there, child molester, because 17's still child.
Still not,
so,
yeah.
She said their relationship had started off great, but then it went downhill very quick. He had gotten very abusive and controlling, and she was scared to live with him. But he threatened to kill her if she ever, or kill her family if she ever left him. So she said because of that, she never left because she didn't want anything, you know, to happen to her family. So because...
Well, and abusers, I mean, she's clearly an abuse victim.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot more that goes into that. Yeah, we all understand that, why she wouldn't have left. So no judgment. And she said because he was arrested now, she finally felt like safe enough that she could come forward and talk to the police.
Yeah.
So she told them that the night that April was murdered, she had woke up to him washing his shoes, like in the middle of the night. She said that they were black and white Air Jordans. It was funny though, when they talked to her on the documentary, she goes, they were black and white shoes with the little man on it, you know, and they're like Air Jordans. She's like, yeah, those. It just made me laugh. But
yeah.
Anyway, she said he was using a sock and hand sanitizer to clean them. He told her he had gotten oil on them. She said she thought it was kind of weird, but whatever. So she said she went back to sleep, but it just didn't really sit well with her. And she thought that was so weird that he was doing that like during the night. So she also said that when the police showed up, he panicked and he told her and his father to lie to the cops if they asked what shoes he was wearing. And so he clearly knew that the shoe was a big part of this crime.
Was an important thing. Yeah.
So he said, you know, say that I was wearing these K-Swiss. So she said she was freaking out and she didn't know what to do and why he would say that, because she didn't know exactly what had happened. And she said she knew that he was lying, but she was scared. So yeah. She said that when she also saw the, like the drawing, this composite, you know, sketch of him, well, of him, of the man, she totally recognized it as looking just like James. So she, but like I said, she was always scared to come forward and tell the cops. But now that he was gone, she says she realized that he was like a pedophile because of her age when she had moved in and how he had just isolated her right away. And the fact that he was violent, even though he didn't have a record, he was violent with her. Yeah. So, because they have this, then they can search for those Air Jordans. So they search the house. They don't find them anywhere. We still don't know whatever happened to those shoes, but because of social media, that kind of came in clutch because they were able to find a picture, several pictures of him, as a matter of fact, wearing those shoes. So they, the specific like make of these shoes was called the Flight the Power. So they're able to find these, you know, the style of these Jordans in the same style or size and color that he had worn. So they order a picture of those, and then they're able, of course, to like produce a scanned photo and lay that picture over the wound, the picture of April's wound, and the tread mark matched perfectly. So they were also able to put him within close proximity of the crime scene because his phone. So they checked, you know, his phone then because of that, and they can see that he was around that same area because his phone pinged there. And also the fitness app, I mean, it went right along with his phone.
Right.
So they think that, you know, he did that, dumps the phone, then goes back into town and through town to go back to his house or whatever. And they are able to catch him on surveillance cameras within the town, like just on buildings. And you can see him fly by on his motorcycle. So the app, his phone, and the cameras all matched up perfect to that timeline. So once they have his phone too, they were able to contain more pictures of the shoes that he had been wearing. There's like random, he's just stupid, which I guess sometimes I'll like not realize my camera is open on my phone and I'll take random pictures, but like there's blurry pictures of him walking. Like you can see his shoes walking. And then you can see other ones, of course, where he's actually, I mean, from like standing in front of something and you can see he's wearing those shoes, but they had enough proof to know that. Also, this is a little gross because he looked in his search history, they were able to see that he had searched how to get younger girls to like older guys.
Ew.
Yeah. So no. So this would have been, let me think. He would have been, oh yeah, because he was 32 and she was 14. I guess that shows you the age difference there. Yeah. So they have enough on him. So October 8th of 2014, 6 months after April was killed, James was charged for her murder. He was charged with three counts. One, the first one was first degree premeditated murder, felony murder, and assault with intent to commit sexual penetration.
Ugh.
So, yeah. So thankfully she wasn't actually assaulted. I mean, it's all terrible regardless.
It's all terrible.
But,
yeah.
So then in February 8th of 2015, he goes to trial after it is all said and done and all the people, testify. Thank you there. I say, thank you, even though you didn't say it, it was, the wheels were turning, you know, but, the jury only deliberated for 6 hours, which is still, they said, was a little bit longer than they would have liked because people were getting kind of nervous.
Yeah.
But he was found guilty of all three charges. So on March 30th of 2015, he was sentenced to life in prison with no parole because Michigan does not have an active death penalty. So he literally got the worst thing he could get.
Yeah.
So on that note, he's a giant piece of shit. I think we all can agree to that. Yeah. And he just looks like a creep. And he almost just like on some of the pictures and video clips I saw of him, and it's almost like he's just smirking. And I just want to punch him in the face. I think the same thing should be done to him that he did to her. But so like at her sentencing or his sentencing too, April's mom talked, and I mean, he has no, there's no emotion in his face. It shows him as she's reading this to him. And she just says, "I don't know why you did what you did, but my question is, what did she ever do to you for you to be so cruel and brutal to her? You stole her life and you stole the rest of my life." And so they have this little garden that they have made in her memory, kind of a place of remembrance. They call it April's Garden. And, you know, it's a nice little area. There's a plaque and like there's a bench and there's a lot of little like neat things. And I think it's around that path kind of. And they said that, you know, it's there that come visit and you can see all four seasons. They talked about that, which is kind of funny since we talked about how you can in the Midwest see that. But it was just so sad. And, you know, at the end of one of the documentaries, the producer thanks April's mom for being able to talk and stuff. And she said, you know, they said, "You're so strong for telling her story." And her mom said, "It's an act. I really pretend." She said, "I pretend all the time." And that just made me sad for her too, because she just, you know, says, "I'm not strong and it's ruined my life because of this." And so it's like, I just thought it was sad to see how these things not only hurt the victim, but just so many people around them and close to them and just that community in general when stuff like that doesn't happen. And just such a heinous, heartless act of violence for your own pleasure. But like, well, just because you got rejected, you're going to just kill her?
And because you couldn't get it. I'm sure I bet a big part of it was he couldn't get it up. And so he's clearly, if he was he was an abuser. So he clearly blamed her, took it out on her. And that is just, it's that sad. Poor baby girl.
I know. So that's the story of April Millsap. And,
The MyFitnessPal thing kind of reminds me of, do you remember hearing that story? I don't remember it was of a wife who was murdered and her husband was convicted because of her, Fitbit.
I feel like that sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't know enough of it to know.
Cause like he tried to say that something had happened or whatever, like she just died in her sleep or some shit. Like, I don't remember the full story, but there's something like, they were able to determine her exact time of death and everything, and it didn't line up with his story, and that's how he got convicted. So I wonder if it'll be on that show.
I wonder. Well, that season is done, but I hope they'll do another season.
I wonder,
I watched all of the episodes. There's only like nine, and there's a lot, though, that are Heartland states. And so I was these are some really interesting cases. This one was just like super sad, too.
I don't remember hearing about that either.
I know. I don't either. And that's pretty shocking because she's so young. Like, I'm surprised that wasn't all over the news. You
and
know?
It wasn't that long ago. But I guess, again, too, like, I mean, for me, maybe at that time, I wasn't probably as I had a, you know, fairly newborn. So,
yeah, I know. Say, I mean, well, I had a toddler, but still, I mean, I just don't know. And I mean, maybe we just, I don't know. Things are not as readily available. I don't know, but it's just crazy. And I think about like, even now with like Apple Watches and I'm sure all other devices and stuff, it can like track your heart rate. And so I think too, like they would be able to tell when you're running versus, you know, and I thought the speed, how they were able just to see her speed, how it picked up and then went back. I'm like, I feel like that's another whole thing that's like important to people. I mean, obviously it's not like you want to plan to be murdered, but like you should always be prepared. And so it's nice when people do have tracking things like that, not only just for location purposes, but just to get an idea of what was going on. Cause it's like the map was like this blue line and it just shows it zigzagging all over. And it just makes you sick to think about in those moments of that happening. And that doggy. I'm going to post a picture of the dog too. Just because
I was going to say, I was going to ask you if you were going to post a picture of the dog.
Well, and it makes you wonder, like, I don't think her body was that far off the beaten path there, but I wonder how long it would have been until someone found her body without that dog making a scene like that, because he was probably like, help my person. And can you imagine that dog was probably going ballistic barking. I mean, even while that was happening. So I'm just glad that nobody hurt that dog, I would be even more pissed.
I know. I'm like, it's already a horrendous story, but if you add in that too, it would just, ugh.
But I just can't. So that's that. That's what I got today.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Yep.
Catch us again next week.
Yep, which will be February 1st.
So, and yeah.
It'll be Black History Month, so we are covering cases with Black victims. So if you guys have any stories, send them our way. I've got a case already that I need to look more into. I haven't deep dived yet. But I'm like, I don't recall hearing about this either. And maybe once I get into it, I will have, I don't know, but
it's crazy.
So yeah, you guys, you can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on any of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
Guys, I use TikTok more now. No one probably cares, but Cassie, I've learned a lot of things on there. So maybe I'll be more helpful on that now.
Listen, I don't know anything about TikTok. I've been making my own personal TikToks, which like just book talk stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I can, because I never have anyone to just like spew all my thoughts.
You can
about
spew
a book
things
with.
To me all the time. But yes, if it's a book that I haven't read, I get it.
Right.
I get it.
So I spew out into the ether, you know, and some people maybe see
the
it or
the world wide web. Someone's listening out there.
You know, yeah. I've got a few, but I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing on TikTok. So,
I mean, okay, that was an overstatement when I said I know what I'm doing. No. I mean, yeah. My daughter tries to teach me these dances on there. I was like, nobody needs to see me doing that. No, thank you.
Oh, I definitely don't try to. I don't know how to do that. I go on there for the spooky shit, the true crime stuff.
Yes.
And now I've got like all the book stuff, which I need to stop looking at because I've got so many books right now. And I'm trying to catch, like,
Cassie,
there's no catching up,
you but... sent me that TikTok of books. And I have to tell you, every time the new book, it was like a video of like showing like six different books or whatever, people that are, you know, listening to read. So every time the new book went, I would screenshot it. And then my daughter comes over and was like, what are you doing? You just click this and it'll save it to your phone. And I'm like,
first of all,
oh,
I've done that, but I still take the screenshot so I can just easily swipe through and not
without
have to
having
watch
to watch
the
video.
You should see the amount of book screenshots that are in my phone right now.
I was like, oh,
it's ridiculous.
Like,
but I do know how to save them and stuff. But it's just easier to take the screenshots because then
I agree.
Swipe
I agree.
Really
yeah,
easily.
I agree. And you know what? I do what I want. I don't care if I'm not a boomer, so she doesn't need to act like I am a boomer. But I mean,
we're just
like that next,
elder millennials.
You know, it's fine. Yeah, way elder. I say wait. I'm almost, my birthday's in less than a month, and I'm like realizing how close I'm getting to the cusp of
40.
40, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'll be halfway to 40. Yeah, I'll be 35 in April.
Okay, well, 35's fine.
Listen, 40 is still young. 40's not a thing anymore.
I mean, yeah, 50, it's fine.
50's not even old anymore.
I know, it's not. I don't really, I think it's more in my head of like, I thought X, Y, and Z, you know, would be done before then, and it's not. But, you know, that's why we just don't set our own timelines because that's not how it's supposed to work. So,
no, it's not.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for letting us talk again at the end.
You know,
and anyone who's 40, I'm not saying you're old. I'm just saying I'm not ready to be 40. That's all. And I don't feel 40. I feel like 15 most days.
Listen,
not physically.
Some days
but...
I feel 80. Okay. Like there are days where I'm like, I feel like I'm an 80-year-old woman. I don't know.
I know. Sometimes my daughter though will look at me and be like, who's that kid here? And I'm like, yes, I am a weird lady. Okay.
Listen,
I'm weird.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Once again, it's fine.
Yeah. But again, you guys rate, review, share. If you're able, Patreon. You know, all the things. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
We do indeed. We'll catch you next week, friends, right?
Until then, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.